We're gonna wing this, of course. Did you use this mic then?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm inviting up Cheryl Clark, poet and writer.
Water?
Yep.
Blanche.
With water. Blanche.
Activist and writer. Serena Khan, activist and writer. And Judy Winnie. Our moderator, who is also an activist, psychotherapist, and a teacher.
Where's your what,
Here's one for the chair moving.
I didn't take yours. I was handed one.
And this one's out.
And I can
Where's Cheryl?
Sit here.
Okay, I wanted to sit in the middle since this is the
season.
Okay,
let me get
up.
Funny. Yeah, I'll give Cheryl mine.
Oh, good, yes.
And there aren't enough of these clip-on ones, so, okay?
Oh, okay.
Great.
Okay.
But it's not Amber.
Now that we've got this figured out.
What? A friend of mine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we've got the mics all figured out and we have everybody totally stimulated, I think, by all of our decisions.
Sex.
All of our discussions and talking about sex.
Orgasm.
And orgasm, etc. We're going to talk about movement building.
This is in the wrong order.
They left the hot topic for last. Okay, so that's how I would like us to think about this. I was sitting there thinking that very thing. I was thinking about, wow, that really brings us to a major place, because one of the things that I have found over the years is that fewer and fewer of my younger clients self-identify as lesbian, and fewer of them self-identify as feminist. And for me, when I came out in the old gay world as a lesbian, when you had to be either butch or femme, otherwise they'd shoot you when you walked in the door of the bar. So I thought that was an interesting thing when we were discussing the sexual part. And then I came to New York and discovered feminism, which was not at that point open to lesbians. So I was a part of the group that worked to try to combine feminism and lesbianism, and it was an incredibly powerful experience to be able to bring those together and to try to get the rest of the world to bring them together. So then, over the decades, it has seemed that, in fact, feminism and saying that you're a feminist has become very passé among a lot of our community. And also, self-identifying as a lesbian has become less common. And so I think part of it is about issues of sexual identification, and part of it is about labels, and part of it is about assumptions that we make. But the issue we're here to discuss is that also many people feel like there is no lesbian feminist movement. And those of us who were part of the earlier one, I find us mourning the old days and mourning the loss of what we experienced in those days. And I never thought as I got older I'd ever mourn anything. I'm always looking forward to new things and exploring new things. But there is a sense of loss sometimes for me in that sense. But I don't know that that means that one doesn't exist. So we're here to talk about whether one exists currently. If so, how is it different from the earlier ones? And also to get maybe give a brief sense of how each person in the panel experienced some kind of movement, if you did, when you came to it. So it depends on, what decade maybe people came to finding some kind of sense of themselves as a lesbian feminist, if you did. And if so, what did that mean, and what were the forces that were involved in that? Were there organizations that helped you to discover that? Were there things that were powerful for you about that limiting? And then we'll talk about, is there one now? And if so, what are the differences? And if not, is there a way that we want to try to take one, to build one? Maybe not, probably not in the old version, but some kind of newer version. So, who would like to start?
I'll start. Okay. I'm Serena Khan, and I
I started out as a young Republican, actually. So
there you go.
So I'm certainly moved. In my first election, presidential election, I voted for George Bush Sr. Such, I know. And actually, it was, I think about 10 years ago, my friend Carmen Vasquez was on a panel, and she said movement building is really about moving people. And that stuck with me all these years because, one, it just speaks to my own experience of getting involved, I think, in probably more of a what I identified as a queer movement back then, though there were certainly, you know, it was this lesbian feminist bookstore that I went to for community. I grew up in Connecticut, not far from here, and I live in California now, and I guess I'll just say I like the L word. So I just think that this issue of being moved into a movement is important, which means that we just have to respect people where they are, and really speak to I think values and a vision. And so for years I also was a researcher researching the right at a place called Political Research Associates. And one of the things that we, you know, really felt strongly about was the issue of not demonizing and not scapegoating. Certainly we didn't like it when the right did it, but we also felt that we shouldn't do it to right-wing leaders or organizations, and most particularly the followers in right-wing movements, because they were people that we could reach. So when we were using language like, you know, the radical extreme right, that wasn't necessarily language that was useful in reaching people. So I guess I just want to start off by saying that, you know, to look at my own trajectory in terms of how I have moved significantly in my life from, you know, growing up in a conservative Pakistani family. I always said that they were conservative by U.S. standards and quite liberal by Pakistani standards. And, you know, and having moved through that trajectory now to identifying as a lesbian feminist, as a progressive activist, and as somebody who's really interested in building on the movement building of the past, trying to understand history, and trying to understand, you know, the history from, you know, the long ago, before I was born, but also the history, how things have changed in the last 20 years, you know, where I have been part of a movement, at least for the last 15. So I'll just start there.
Thank you.
Which one of you was going to go next?
Why don't you go next?
Oh,
here.
I'll go next. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm very happy to be here. I guess since you know that Serena and you know this is Blanche, you know I'm Cheryl. Let me thank all of the panelists who went before us, and I think we have sort of a hard act to follow. And I must say I'm not as prepared as sometimes, because I wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to talk about today, except lesbian feminism, which is a broad bed. Are we supposed to say how we came out? Is that what we're supposed to do?
Well, we'd like to know how you came out.
We'd like to know that, Cheryl, if you'd like to tell us.
I've written about it a number of times, so people are probably quite familiar. But in terms of movement building, in terms of lesbian feminist movement, I hit my stride as a lesbian feminist writer. You know, as some of you may know, I was involved with Conditions, a lesbian feminist journal, which began in 1977 with four in Brooklyn with four white lesbians who opened the collective up in 1981 to a multicultural editorial board, and I was invited in 1981 to join it, and I think that is where that is when I began to consider myself in a movement. And that movement, that time, that work, specifically from 81 to 90, was extremely important to me as a lesbian and as a feminist. And I see those two things as doppelgangers, frankly, you know. To me, lesbian kind of overdetermines feminism. It's kind of like overstates it. Because I, well, anyway. Okay, that is if feminist means a commitment to ending women's oppression, which is one of its definitions. A definition which I still subscribe to and which we all know still needs to be done. Though I still call myself a lesbian, sometimes to the chagrin of my students, who are many years younger than I am, you know, I'm talking about people from 18 to 22 that I work with, you know. I, just like I still call myself black, I still call myself a lesbian. Well, some people have gone on to African American. You know. I can be African American too, but I can still be black because of what it signifies in terms of the politics. For me, that's, you know, and I still think there's room for those politics. There've got to be room for those politics because women are still getting their asses kicked here and all around the world. I do think, however, that it has become less crucial, probably since ACT UP, Marion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it has become less crucial to lesbianism that one have a same-sex lover than that one practice a lesbian or a lesbian feminist politics. So all of those things don't have to line up, I think, as much as they used to have to line up, you know. And I could be talking about bisexuality. I could be talking about transsexuality or transgender sexuality in terms of all of those things lining up or not lining up. I think lesbian feminists have realized that single-issue politics is a luxury. And I think many of us have gone into other kinds of politics while still maintaining a lesbian feminist commitment. I heard that Blanche Cook and Claire Koss were out in Ohio going door to door just before the elections last year. I said, what? But, you know, I said it with admiration. You know, I mean, so I think lesbian feminism has become more permeable. That's a word all the young people use. But we have to.
We don't know what it means.
Yes, you do. I mean, you know, we are embracing, we are embracing more different types of politics. I wanted to go back to 1981 and conditions and the multicultural collective, because I think I want to say about lesbian feminism, while we may be worrying that it's, you know, we're in addition to lesbian bed death, I don't believe in that.